This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, we're glad everybody's there. We're hoping this season comes off and it works. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Andy Baskin over there. Joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's the former president of the Miami Marlins. He's David Sampson from CBS Sports. His Nothing Personal podcast is exactly what you're looking for, Andy. You ready? A daily sports podcast hosted by David. No guests, no callers, no BS. David, I love it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's spring training. Doesn't feel like it, but it seems like it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Before we get into anything more, as a guy who ran a baseball team, what do you think, what pops into your head when the Padres give Fernando Tatis a 14-year contract worth $340-some million? I'm curious what the reaction is.
Thank you, God. Now people don't look at the deal we gave Giancarlo Stanton as the biggest deal ever. That was my first thought, because Trout's extension didn't really count. Gerrit Cole sort of counted, but I needed a position player. And having Tatis get it was brilliant. So good for Tatis, good for the Padres. I saw the breakdown today. People are criticizing that it's a backloaded contract, but people are forgetting that he's not even arbitration eligible yet. He's 4 years until he's a free agent. So it's an interesting contract. And for Cleveland, just know that Tatis is getting $36 million in his free agent years, and that's pretty much what Lindor is going to ask for now.
That's a good – I actually didn't think about that. That's a much better way to look at it, because I've been – you know, we've been kicking this around. I think Clevelanders are like, man, San Diego isn't – you know, when you look at the TV market size, you know, San Diego's small like us. How can they afford to do this when, you know, we're sitting here in Cleveland and we're counting pennies?
Well, no, it's that Cleveland's way better run than San Diego. And the executives in Cleveland have a better idea of when their windows open and when their windows close. The only mistake I think you guys made is you could have traded Lindor a year earlier. But listen, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. But you guys should really have faith in what Cleveland and the front office does. You don't want someone like Tatis on your team at those numbers unless your payroll is going to be, you know, in the 150 to 160 range. And I just don't think San Diego will get there. And I don't think Tatis will be a Padre for 14 years.
No kidding. Does it kill a franchise that can't pay everybody that kind of money, David? I'm real curious about the effect on things, because we get folks who call all the time and say, you know, why can't our team do that? And I've said, well, our team has been successful doing it a different way. Aren't you allowed to do that as well? It's a tough dynamic.
It's one of the worst problems I had in 18 years, right? Are we trying to build a winning team and win more rings, or are we trying to make the fans happy with what they think they want? And we signed a lot of players because we wanted sort of the PR out of it, and we wanted to try to appease everybody, and it cost us. And the reality is that we had Stanton, Yelich, Ozuna. We had great pitching from Jose Fernandez on down, and we couldn't win 81 games. And yet, when you trade some of those players, the thought is, my God, you're tearing down the 27 Yankees. No, we're tearing down a team that couldn't finish 500 and was getting expensive. And Tampa does it all the time. They keep players coming through the pipeline, and they trade them a year too early, not a year too late. Make sure you watch Charlie Morton this year, because Tampa said we're not going to pay him $15 million. Atlanta said we will. So Atlanta has the money to do it. He's a great addition now during the offseason. Let's see how it works throughout the course of the year.
David, we had Brian Anderson on Friday, and we were talking about the way baseball looks right now when it comes to, you know, starting pitching and paying for starting pitching and wondering, you know, how overrated it is just to have the column with the W and the column with the L when it comes to pitchers, and what Major League Baseball might look somewhere down the road when you've got a guy that can throw four innings rather than, you know, maybe have six guys that can throw four innings and then a couple other guys, what bullpens are going to look like and what starters are going to look like, and, you know, maybe are we overrating closers? Well, if you could peek into the future, especially from the financial point of it, what do you think pitching staffs are going to look like down the road?
I think flexibility matters with pitching, but don't forget that people talking to you about pitching staffs are focused on two things. They're focused on October, which you cannot look at a pitching staff in October and say that's how to build your pitching for 162 games. That right. can work for a month, but by the end of October, those pitchers can barely lift their arms, having nothing to do with the fact that they've been pitching for a whole season just because they're used so much during the postseason. They're relied on so much. The second thing is, don't look at your bullpen and try to build it during the offseason. I know the Phillies have done that. We tried that a few times, and it's just downright stupid because whatever your bullpen is in April will not be your bullpen in October. That is a guarantee. So don't panic about a bullpen. But when you're looking at starters, when you need guys who can come out and stay healthy, repeatable deliveries, and the ability to take the ball every 5 days and give your bullpen a break, try to go six innings, try to go six plus, because all of the openers and all of the managers who pull their pitchers after two times to the lineup because the analytics say it, when you do analytics, you're not taking into account the physical toll on these arms on your pitching staff. So depth, for me, is the key, and spreading out money over more people is the key. The days of giving a closer like Kenley Jansen or Aroldis Chapman that type of money, you know, the White Sox did it with Hendricks, gave him 4 years, and it's just, I would rather have Tampa's bullpen with 10 guys who throw 97, all of them before arbitration.
David Sampson's joining us, former president of the Miami Marlins, CBS Sports. David, the NFL clearly has competition from top to bottom. It doesn't matter if you're in Jacksonville or Green Bay or Cleveland or Los Angeles. You're kind of on a similar playing field. Baseball, from all accounts, hasn't had that. You were running a baseball team, and you know you weren't in Los Angeles, you weren't in New York. Is baseball in need of a similar financial system to the NFL, or is it broken financially? And if so, how do you fix it? If not, why does this work?
So I used to complain all the time, right? Because I was running the Expos and then the Marlins. And I would talk to John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox, who was a major small market hawk when he owned the Marlins for a minute and a half. And then he bought the Red Sox and said, screw the small markets. I love the big markets, and let's protect the big markets. And then I did a study with baseball, and I was taught that baseball has the same competitive balance, if not better, than the other leagues. But there's a bigger premium on intellect in baseball. And front offices who know what they're doing, and front offices who are ahead of the curve and not playing the copycat game. Like Oakland had a big advantage when they started doing, in theory, analytics and shifting. And teams that shifted more had an advantage, but that advantage is gone because everybody shifts. So you're looking for the incremental advantage. So it is very convenient as an executive, let's say you're in Cleveland, when you don't win, to say, hey, I'm hamstrung. We don't have the revenue. We don't have the payroll. We can't win. But that's not the case. And Cleveland has shown that's not the case with the success they've had. The reality is you just need a front office who's willing to make moves that are smarter than other teams. And that's the premium. So I don't view it as a money issue at all.
So how do you view the Indians front? I mean, I've heard you say compliments here, but when you look at the Indians front office and compare them to other front offices around Major League Baseball, top five, I think that the proof is in the pudding that when you look around the league and you see all these guys that have, you know, spent a year or were interns in Cleveland, and the next thing you know, they're general manager here or they're doing. How do you look at Cleveland's front office when you try to assess them against the rest of the league?
We always looked at them as a top five. I think that's a pretty good place for them to be. They're disciplined. They're willing to make unpopular moves, but sometimes emotion does factor in, and that's what I blame keeping Lindor an extra year, sort of believing one more shot at it. But what I like about the Indians and the way they develop and the way they scout and the way they draft is you don't draft by position, you draft by talent. And you don't develop to a position, you develop to a level, which means that you're trying to produce major leaguers. Let the big league team worry about where the big leaguers are going to play. One thing that we always focus on is, oh, he never played second base before. Oh, he's never taken fly balls in left field before. And Jack McKeon taught me this our World Series year. He said, Sparky, just get him to me and I'll take it from there. And he would play players wherever the heck he wanted to play him. The problem this day and age is players are not as flexible as they used to be in terms of, hey, just I want service time. I want to get to the big leagues. Play me anywhere. Because there's just a lot more at stake with injuries and finance. But I think Cleveland just does a really good job of piecing it together. And that is, if you look at the Dodgers, frankly, what they've done is they've built a team. They just have a lot more money to do it so they can cover up mistakes. But they've got a really flexible, deep roster with players who play multiple positions. And I think that that's very, very important, something Cleveland just has always understood.
David Sampson joining us, former Marlins president, now with CBS Sports. I had some dealings with Jack McKeon when he was in running the Padres back in the day, and he was an awful lot of fun. You mentioned the Rays pitching and how they have a bullpen loaded with power arms and they've spread out the salaries. And, David, that's one thing I can't get out of my mind is when I hear of a pitcher, Trevor Bauer, the most recent, signing these big contracts, and I immediately go to, that's $1.2 million a start or whatever it is. Is that a good investment for a baseball team? Part of me thinks, yeah, because you need pitching. And part of me thinks, I have no idea. Is it to sink that kind of a money into a starter?
Well, we were focused with the Marlins, and I actually did a whole segment on Nothing Personal podcast about this very issue. How can Trevor Bauer outperform his contract? There's literally no way. When you're making $40 million a year, you're the highest paid player. He can win 20 games with an ERA under 2, win the Cy Young, and he will not be worth $40 million. And in order to win, you have to have a lot of players who outperform their contracts. Even the Dodgers have to have that. And Trevor Bauer is just an example of an owner who said, I want to be the first team to repeat since the 98, 99, 2000 Yankees. Let's take this franchise out for a walk because so many teams are lowering payroll. We have a chance to keep our payroll up. We have a lot of money coming off the books with Bauer only on 2 years, Kershaw 2 more years. So let's just try to do something that hasn't been done in this century. So I get what they were doing, but I don't think they needed to go to 40. I guess to compete with the Mets, but I don't think Bauer wanted to play anywhere other than the Dodgers. But I don't certainly can't tell you he's going to be worth his contract, and he's certainly a headache off the field.
David, it's always a pleasure. We thank you very much, and I always start thinking after we hang up with you. So I thank you very much. You've made me think.
Thank you.
I love your set. That. Looking forward to it. See you the next time.
All right, David.
I love your
appreciate
set
it.
On TV. I love the set he uses. I don't know why.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll do a tour next show. We'll do a video on the radio.
That'll be awesome. I can't wait.
That's amazing. That'd be great. Thank you.
David Sampson, right, former guys. Marlins Bye-bye. President, Daily Sports Podcast. I love it. No guests, no callers, no BS. 45 minutes per day, Monday through Friday.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.